All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined for another Wednesday crossover where I will be previewing this Week 11 matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers with the host of the Locked On Panthers podcast, Bill Rossetti.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years. I'm on Twitter at Falcfans, and of course, the host of this world-renowned Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Today, I'm joined for a crossover Wednesday episode with the host of Locked On Panthers, Bill Rossetti, and we're going to give you our insights on this Week 11 matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. Bill, man, we've been doing these crossovers a number of times over the years. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup between the Falcons and Panthers this week, particularly, at least from the Falcons' perspective, they're coming off a very must-needed win against the division rival, the New Orleans Saints. I'm curious sort of what's going on with the Panthers right now. Is this sort of a situation that they're sort of reeling and trying to get a W this weekend?
Obviously, great to be back with you. Like you said, yeah, we've been doing this quite often now. So these divisional ones are always fun. So good to be back with you, Aaron. What a win for the Falcons that was on Sunday. Huh? I mean, where did that defense come from? Just a perfect way for them to come out of their bye. It's certainly unexpected, but certainly a nice morale booster for that team, the way that season just kind of went south on them. But for the Panthers, that was a missed opportunity on Sunday. There's no doubt about it. The Falcons could have indirectly helped the Panthers by beating the Saints, and the Panthers just didn't take advantage of it with losing to the Packers. And it stings because this is a team that was still fighting for a playoff spot, and now you're starting to see there's obviously still a lot of time left, but those playoff spots are already starting to slip away a little bit. I mean, you look at the division standings, Panthers are still two games out, and the Vikings and Seahawks are already starting to run away with the two wild card spots, or at the very least a playoff spot if they don't win their respective divisions. So this is where the turnaround has to start for the Panthers. And it's, you know, these are the games that I talked about on my podcast, that these are the winnable games that the Panthers have to have. Plus they got to steal a couple others if they're going to try to make a playoff push. So a tough loss on Sunday. So this is a spot where they really have to bounce back if they want to make a playoff push.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the Falcons defense, and I think that would be a great sort of point to jump off and really look at this Falcons defensive matchup versus this Panthers offense. And, you know, one of the things that's been interesting watching the Panthers these last couple of weeks is sort of how problematic turnovers have been. You know, Kyle Allen has been playing pretty clean those first couple of starts where the Panthers were sort of getting things going. But really the last 3 weeks, he's what turned the ball over like six times. You know, I looked at the numbers and it's like the Panthers are plus 11 in the turnover margin in their four wins under Kyle Allen, but they're minus seven in their, you know, losses this season. And it's one of those things where it does seem like turnovers are really sort of pivotal for this team's success. I'm curious sort of what are your thoughts on some of these issues that the Panthers have been dealing with in recent weeks?
Yeah, you're right. That was the big reason for their success early on, right? That four-game winning streak they had earlier, they didn't really turn the ball over. Kyle Allen had zero interceptions in that time frame. Now he's thrown, was it five or like you said, six interceptions now in the last three games. You know, you don't want to think, you hope that it's not this a second year in a row where big defeat kind of got the ball rolling in terms of, you know, the season's going to start to get lost on them again. We saw them get blasted last year by the Steelers, and that really got the wheels rolling downhill. And of course the Panthers ultimately lost what turned out to be what, seven straight or whatever it was, and ended up 7-9. And you're starting to see it again this season. They had that big loss to the 49ers, and I mean, they bounced back and they beat the Titans in week nine. But again, that even in that game, Kyle Allen threw an interception, so he didn't completely take care of the ball. And he did the same thing against the Packers, and the offense kind of struggled a little bit at times, and it's been costing them. And against a team now like the Falcons, who definitely look like they at least have their swagger back. I mean, that for a team that, like I said earlier, that the season just went so south, getting a win over the Saints like that for a team like this, that's just such a confidence booster that they're playing with house money at this point. And they're just going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at the Panthers. And as far as just trying to take the ball away, getting to the quarterback, things like that. So the Panthers definitely have a lot of miscues that they have to clean up if they're going to bounce back. You know, and this game certainly is not as clear cut as we thought it would have been a few weeks ago. You know, this was a pair of games that the Panthers were probably looking at and thinking, okay, these are definitely winnable games for us. We really shouldn't have any problem. Well, now you come off a loss to the Packers, you watch the Falcons kind of get rejuvenated, and we know the history. I mean, the Falcons certainly have had the upper hand in this series, very especially recently. So, you know, they got to just get back to basic fundamentals. Kyle Allen just has to get back to taking care of the football, because that's really what this offense is based on. It's Allen taking care of the ball, not turning it over, and just getting the ball or getting it into the hands of his playmakers, which he did with DJ Moore last week. But the turnovers definitely have to cut down if they're going to get back on track.
Yeah, I think you're right there with DJ Moore. He's going to be, I think, a big problem for the Falcons defense, particularly if they don't get Desmond Trufant back this week. There is some optimism right now in the middle of this week that Trufant will return this Sunday, and that will give them a big boost, because right now I think DJ Moore is poised to run circles around Isaiah Oliver, their second-year corner, who's really been struggling a lot this season. But, you know, what's going to be interesting is sort of the injury to Christian McCaffrey, because I know he missed practice on Wednesday. I'm curious to get your thoughts on sort of how serious that is. But, you know, in addition to sort of protecting the football, this Panthers offense relies so heavily on Christian McCaffrey. I'm looking at the numbers, and it's like from a yardage standpoint, he provides like 40% of the Panthers offense. He's got like 60% of their touchdowns. If he's limited in any way this week, what are your thoughts on whether or not the Panthers can sort of bounce back, particularly, you know, given that you're talking about this Falcons defense that got a little bit of a boost last week against the Saints? You know, maybe they were helped a little bit by not having Alvin Kamara being fully healthy, and maybe they'll get that 2 weeks in a row if Christian McCaffrey's limited.
I don't think there's really any concern. You know, I think this is just more of a rest day for McCaffrey, because, yeah, he's been, you know, kind of banged up through the season, but they've been minor injuries. So they've been just kind of taking it easy with him, especially early in the week. So I don't think there's really any concern about his status on Sunday. But, you know, knock on wood, hopefully something doesn't happen to him, obviously. But if something ever were to happen, this offense would just completely go down the tubes, I think. I don't think there's an argument right now, or at least it's a very strong argument in McCaffrey's favor that he is the best running back in the NFL right now, in terms of how utilized he can be, just how dynamic he is, and just how much of a superstar he's become. It's a huge drop off in talent between McCaffrey and the other running backs on this roster, Jordan Scarlett and Reggie Bonifant. Now, you know, Bonifant had that long touchdown a few weeks ago, but he's just not ready to be that featured back if McCaffrey had to, you know, take some time off. So McCaffrey basically is the offense, and it's why people have been pegging him as an MVP candidate. I think he definitely deserves to be in the conversation. Ultimately, I think right now it would probably go to either Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson. I think you can make a strong argument for Lamar. But McCaffrey definitely is up there. So this offense still runs through him. You know, you'll still see Moore sprinkled in there, obviously, like we saw last week, becoming a stud. Curtis Samuel still has his moments. And then even Greg Olsen has kind of found his stride a little bit again. But without Christian McCaffrey, there really is no Panthers offense. But like I said, I don't think there's any concern right now. This is just more of a rest type deal for him early in the week.
Okay. Well, I guess that's good news for the Panthers, bad news for the Falcons. I guess on the flip side of that, maybe what might be a little bit better news for the Falcons is, again, they had six sacks last week against Drew Brees. That's something that they really struggled to do throughout Brees' time in New Orleans. But it does seem like there's a very strong correlation between games where they can get pressure on Drew Brees and they can manage to beat the Saints. And I'm wondering sort of how much confidence you have in this Panthers offensive line. I know they've been dealing with some injuries lately, particularly if that same Falcons pass rush from a week ago shows up and can really put some heat on Kyle Allen and maybe force him to create some of those turnovers that have been really sorely missing from this Falcons defense this year. That's been like the one, you know, or not the one thing, because there's been so many other things wrong with the Falcons defense this year, but that has been certainly something that they, even when they play well like they did against New Orleans, they're still not necessarily creating a ton of turnovers.
Yeah, well, the Panthers got some good news today. Greg Little's actually back at practice, which is really great to see, because he's been having a lot of issues this season with concussions. So it's nice to see him back out there. Dennis Daly got a little bit of work in today. So they're starting to kind of get their pieces back, you know, because without Greg Little, the offensive line, yeah, it has struggled a little bit, especially, you know, and it sucks to say this because he had been so good before his injuries. But Darrell Williams has struggled. You know, he's at times definitely become a liability out there. So, yeah, that fresh boost of confidence that the Falcons got, that can definitely carry over to next week. It'll be interesting to see how Greg Little continues to respond to his recovery, how much he's going to practice this week, and if he plays, how effective he's going to be. But this is still obviously a unit that has to be on their toes because, again, this is a Falcons defense or Falcons defensive line that just got their swagger back, and it's not as talented as an offensive line as they saw last week. We know the Saints offensive line is extremely good with guys like, Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. So they were going up against some really good tackles last week, and they still got to Drew Brees six times. So Little and Darrell Williams as a group is obviously not as strong as Armstead and Ramczyk. So I think it could be a little bit of an easier time for the Falcons to get to Kyle Allen. And again, that's something the Panthers just have to watch out for. Cause again, it goes back to taking care of the football, taking care of the quarterback. So this Panthers offensive line just needs to continue to step up because this Falcons defense is going to be pretty hungry after, almost like getting greedy, I guess, after what happened last week with Brees.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see how that matchup goes. I think, you know, again, one of the bigger matchups, probably the marquee matchup, is going to be this Falcons offense against this Panthers defense. Those are the two units that both of these teams are really more known for. So, you know, Bill, let's get into that potential matchup there. And we'll do that in just a moment. But first, I want to let you guys know about the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find a daily podcast devoted to all 30 NBA teams, including the Locked On Hawks podcast hosted by Brad Rolen. Find that on your favorite podcast platform, including Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You know, the Falcons got a big boost of confidence by beating the Saints this past Sunday, but you guys can also get a big boost of confidence in the bedroom by checking out BlueChew.com. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Blue Chew is made in the USA, and since it's prepared and shipped direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, you can take advantage of this special offer by visiting BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. That just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. Now, I know many of you have had a long day at work. Maybe you've had a tough day at school. Maybe you're still stuck at the office. Why don't you treat yourself to a meal that you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash? DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. You just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Just let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. So I'm here with the host of Locked On Panthers, Bill Rossetti. We're going to be talking about the Falcons offense going up against this Panthers defense. You know, one of the big issues that I'm noticing on this Panthers defense is, you know, how much their run defense has struggled this year. I think they're dead last, according to Football Outsiders and DVOA. They've given up a ton of big runs this year. I think I looked up that they've given up the highest rate of 15 plus yard runs, you know, in the league this year. And I think it's like twice the rate that the average NFL team gives up this year. And, you know, I think a lot of people may look at this matchup and say, hey, you know, Devontae Freeman's injured. He's dealing with an injury. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. You know, that may alleviate some of the issues that the Panthers run defense might have. But I actually think that the opposite might be true, because their backup in Brian Hill actually has been, you know, a little bit, shown a little bit more juice, shown a little bit more explosiveness as a runner when he's gotten opportunities over this last month. So I do feel like that could potentially be an issue for this Panthers defense moving forward. But I am sort of curious to get your thoughts on some of the issues that the team has had stopping the run this year.
No, I absolutely agree. I think Brian Hill, there's a reason why, if you looked at a lot of fantasy sites, Brian Hill was one of the top waiver claims on all these articles. He was the guy everybody's saying go out and get, and for good reason. He's a good running back, and it's the right situation. He's going to get all the touches, and you mentioned that the Panthers have the worst, and it's crazy to think, because even last week when Peter and I were talking, previewing the Packers game, we just found it so crazy that the Panthers can have such a highly ranked pass defense and such a poor run defense. And you would think with the talent they have on paper, or, you know, the names that they have and the talent they have on paper, that they should have no problem stopping the run. But they're just getting gashed week in and week out. And last week was no exception, with Aaron Jones having another fantastic game. You know, you would think a player or a team, excuse me, with Gerald McCoy, and even with K'Wan Short being injured, Vernon Butler, and all these guys, Dontari Poe, you would think these guys would just have the strength to stop opposing running backs, but they just haven't had it. And now you're going up against a young guy in Brian Hill and a young Falcons offense. There's some concern. There definitely, yeah, I could see Brian Hill having a pretty good game, and I think the Falcons definitely keep it close. You know, it's they have a puncher's chance. They definitely have a fighter's chance in this one. Like I said earlier, it's not as much of a gimme game anymore for the Panthers because of, you know, issues like this, the turnovers, and Brian Hill is a really sneaky, I mean, if we're talking fantasy football, he's definitely a sneaky start this week. So it's going to be really interesting how the Panthers try to just fix up those run problems against Brian Hill this week, because obviously they're going to start going up against some really good running backs in the coming weeks. They've got the Saints after. They'll see Alvin Kamara. They could see Darius Geis in a couple weeks. They'll see Chris Carson. They'll see Brian Hill again, or unless Devontae Freeman comes back. So they got to figure out these issues quick, because the string of good running backs really won't stop over these final 7 weeks. So it's going to be interesting what the Panthers try to do this week to slow down Brian Hill.
Yeah, and I think Hill's going to be important this week, and sort of because the Falcons are dealing with an injury to tight end Austin Hooper, who's going to miss a couple of games coming up with a knee injury. And, you know, Hooper has sort of been their go-to option on third downs, in addition to Julio Jones has been their go-to option in the red zone this year. And I think the Falcons are going to have to, you know, rely on their running game in a lot of those situations to help them out, you know, in getting into some third and manageables so that some of these other players can sort of pick up the slack if Hooper's not going to be out there, and also in the red zone as well if they want to convert there. But obviously the marquee matchup for the Falcons is always going to be, you know, these wide receivers and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. And I think with Hooper out of lineup, it's one of those weeks where they're going to have to find a way to get Calvin Ridley more involved in the offense. And he's been sort of hot and cold off and on throughout the season. And we know last year in both Panthers games, he had some pretty memorable moments in those games going up against this Panthers secondary. And you mentioned that the Panthers pass defense has been, you know, one of the better ones in the league this year. And so that's going to be a big challenge for the Falcons if they can get something from this passing game, or if they're just going to have to rely on the running game to have to carry them. And if that's the case, then, you know, you're looking at probably another sort of game that's potentially low scoring type of affair that certainly, you know, can go either team's way if you're not talking about a game. I think, you know, so I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see how the Falcons get their passing game involved. I'm curious sort of, What are your thoughts on this Panthers secondary being able to keep guys like Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley in check this time around?
Yeah, and getting James Bradberry back in practice today is huge, especially with the injury on Sunday to Dante Jackson. So I think that's going to be another interesting piece to follow throughout the practice week is what is the health of the secondary? What's the status of Dante Jackson? How effective is James Bradberry going to be? Because this is still a pair of dominant receivers. I mean, you still need somebody, you know, you can't really afford injuries. You can't really afford to be without your top secondary players when you're going up against Julio Jones. And I mean, I think you can make the, at least at the cornerback position, James Bradberry is probably up. He's probably the guy the Panthers need right now to go up against Julio. So having him back is going to be key, you know, so that's going to be a fun matchup, but it still leaves Calvin Ridley, you know, so the question becomes, is Dante Jackson going to be ready to go on Sunday? Is Ross Cockrell going to have to step in? Who's going to end up being responsible for Calvin Ridley? So it's a tough matchup, and, you know, like you said, it seems like any time the Panthers and Falcons meet, Julio Jones is always doing something spectacular. You know, you always think of the 300-yard receiving game a couple of years ago that he had. So he just has his way with his Panthers team no matter what. So it's going to be another – I think it's going to be another tough go. I think Julio is just going to do Julio things. It's just going to be a matter of – can the Panthers slow up the rest of the offense enough to kind of balance things out where, you know, in terms of Julio is going to get his, but the rest of the offense is quiet enough that the Panthers are still able to hang in there and allow their offense to score enough points to kind of keep pace with Julio Jones.
Yeah. And we'll come back and get some final thoughts on this week 11 matchup between the Falcons and Panthers. But before we get there, I want to let you guys know about Away. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off your suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use the promo code locked on during checkout. I mean, this is going to be an interesting matchup watching for me, because coming off of this unexpected and very impressive Saints win, I'm not sure what Falcon team is going to show up. I'm wondering, you know, have they truly got their mojo back, or did they just sort of catch the Saints on a, you know, they caught the Saints sort of sleeping on them a little bit, thinking, oh, you know, this Falcon team is 1-7. You know, we usually take care of business against the Falcons for the most part. And so maybe they were not necessarily prepared for some of the things that the Falcons were able to do in that game. And then you mentioned at the top sort of like the Falcons tend to have a lot better success, particularly within the division against the Panthers, than they do any of the other teams in the division. And you're dealing with some of these issues that you're talking about with the injuries, a little beat up and whatnot. And, you know, part of me is wondering sort of like, did the Falcons' success against the Saints, is that a result of offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter's familiarity within the division? Because one of the things that when the Falcons first hired Dirk Cutter, one of the expectations for why the team wouldn't have any offensive drop-off, which, you know, in hindsight proved to be very wrong of us to expect that, because there has been a significant drop-off from Steve Sarkisian. But the expectation was, you know, Cutter's experience in this league would lead to immediate success for this team, and you wouldn't have this sort of first-year jitters of the offense trying to adjust to a new play caller. And that hasn't been the case. But I do wonder if maybe these divisional games coming up for the Falcons, and they got, you know, four more in a row following on the heels of the Saints game, you know, is that going to be the time where it's like, oh, no, this is where Cutter sort of makes his mark. So I'm definitely very curious to sort of see what type of Falcon team shows up on Sunday, because I certainly think the Saints win gives this team a lot of confidence. But I certainly think, as you named a lot of things, there's certainly a lot of issues that this Panthers team, both on offense and defense, can do to really challenge this Falcon team this Sunday. So it's going to be an interesting, like, you know, it's going to be an opportunity to see, you know, how much fight is left in this Falcon team going up a pretty solid Panther team that's also, as you mentioned at the top, very incentivized to win on Sunday if they want to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you if the Panthers lose this one and drop to 5-5, now you're really up against it, just because the top teams in the NFC have become so good, and that 9 wins probably isn't going to get you in at, you know, outside of the NFC East, of course, because it's looking possible that 9-7 might win that division. But as far as the Panthers are concerned, 9 wins probably isn't going to do it. 10 wins might not even do it. I mean, the second wild card is already at 7 wins, and that's the Vikings, and the Panthers lose the tiebreaker to them, and the Seahawks are already at 8. So you could very well see a 10-6 team missing the playoffs in the NFC. I think it's entirely possible that both wild cards finish at least 11-5, which means if the Panthers lose, well, that's 5 losses. That basically means they have to run the table. And you have the Saints twice, you have the Seahawks, you have the Colts. It's not going to be an easy stretch. So this is almost a must-win. You know, without exactly calling it a must-win, it definitely feels like a must-win. It almost feels like the Panthers' playoffs are starting now. You know, they really have a very, very slim margin of error at this point at 5-4, especially in this NFC. You know, if this is the AFC, obviously it's a little different, because 5-4 is actually a playoff team right now. But in the NFC, we're talking about the NFC, where 5-4, you're not even within a game of the second wild card. So you still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you're right. The Panthers haven't done themselves any favors with some of these losses. You know, all 4 losses to NFC teams. Yep. They're in situation, you know, losing games to potential teams that, should they, you know, wind up making a wild card spot or something, you know, they're going to be in trouble with the tiebreaker, you know, the teams like the 49ers and the Packers and the Rams and whatnot. So it's one of those things where I think you're right. It's really, they kind of, it kind of looks like if this team wants to make the playoffs and you're looking at the rest of the schedule, besides Washington, there aren't really any, you know, the Falcons are the easiest opponent on their schedule besides Washington, and if, you know, it's going to be hard, tough sledding to get some more wins this season. So it is kind of a must win, particularly at home. So I definitely am very curious to sort of see, you know, which team wants it more. Do the Falcons, who, you know, essentially have nothing to play for other than pride at this point, and just to ruin other teams', you know, seasons at this point, like they kind of did with the Saints, and maybe they'll do that again with the Panthers this week. Or, you know, do the Panthers want it more since they're sort of fighting for the playoff hopes? So I think Sunday is going to be a very fun game, and we're going to learn a little bit more about both of these teams, you know, in the end.
No, and I totally agree. This is, you know, anytime these two teams get together, it's always a fun time. You know, these are always this is kind of an underrated rivalry, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah. So, Bill, do you have like a prediction at this point in time? Do you feel, you know, confident enough to ride with the Panthers, or are you a little worried that maybe these Falcons are going to be able to upset another team this week?
Yeah, you know what? And, you know, maybe I'm kind of using this, you know, using the kiss of death thing since it's worked many times before. But right now, I think I'm picking Atlanta to go in and pull the upset again. I think with the confidence they're riding now, I think their pass rush, you know, like I said, the Panthers are getting some pieces back on the offensive line. But with what they have, are they going to gel again quick enough to kind of stop what the Falcons have been able to do, what the Falcons were able to do? I think, you know, is it just a momentum thing, or is it, you know, or was it a fluke? I think that's going to be the fun thing to watch, but I'm going to pick the upset right now. I'm going to say the Falcons win.
Okay. Well, I'm going to join you on that, Bill, just only for the only reason, because it's been a while since I've picked the Falcons to win a game. It's been since that week six Cardinals game, and they let me down then. And the previous times I picked them to win games, they let me down then. So, you know, there's a pretty good chance. History says that if I pick the Falcons, I think they've lost every game that I've picked them to win. So I know the listeners of Locked On Falcons aren't happy to hear me say that. But it is one of those things where, like, look, I don't know how many other times I'll get the chance to pick the Falcons to win and they actually might win the game. So I think they'll probably wind up winning this game. I think it will probably be a relatively low scoring game, something like a, you know, like a 24-21 type of game that will go down to the wire and potentially, you know, whoever, you know, kicks a game winning field goal to wind up winning this game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you could definitely see a game like that. And yeah, I mean, the Falcons have the reigning special teams player of the week. So maybe he comes out and does it again, who knows, but yeah, I like I said, these are always fun games to watch. You know, the Panthers and the Falcons, it's not obviously not a long-time rivalry, but it's become a fun rivalry. You know, they've had some really good games over the past few years, and I think these next couple of games, you know, because they meet now, what, twice in the next 4 weeks, so, you know, it won't be long till you and I are chatting again. But yeah. These next couple of weeks, I think, are going to be fun. So it's definitely something to look forward to, I think.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, I appreciate you joining me on today's crossover episode. I'm looking forward to doing this again in a little bit less than a month.
Yeah, about 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it'll be fresh in our minds when we do it again, whatever happens on Sunday. And, I'm on the same page with you. I think this is going to be a fun matchup, a good matchup. I'm just happy that I'm not doing what I have done on pretty much the last four crossovers where I've just been like, yeah, the Falcons are bad. They're not going to win. I'm just glad that I can get something back, some excitement back on these crossovers and not feel like it's just talking about how badly the other team is going to wind up beating the Falcons when they were in the midst of that six-game losing streak. So I'm just happy that, you know, if maybe this is the only time I'll get an opportunity to do this before the season is up, but I'll take it. As far as I'm concerned,
take it however you can get it.
So, Bill, man, I appreciate it, and we'll wind up doing this again very shortly.
Absolutely, buddy. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys, there you have it. Another late Wednesday evening crossover. Again, scheduling conflicts. I know you guys are frustrated that you don't get these crossovers for your morning commute. Hopefully, you will get your All 22 review and Q&A in for your Thursday morning commute, but I don't know. Sitting here right now as I've done recording this Wednesday crossover. So, but if you do or you don't, you can still submit any questions that you have, any comments that you have, any feedback that you wish to give this podcast and its illustrious host. You can submit those comments and feedback on Twitter at Lockdown Falcons, on Facebook at Lockdown Falcons, and of course via email at lockdownfalcons@mail.com. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.